Feliz Viernes, amigos. This is KJZZ Sun Up. It is your daily news update from here in Phoenix on our state and region. I'm Phil Latzman, your host for this podcast, a daily digest of the news here in Arizona. As reported by our KJZZ news team, we have indeed made it to Friday. It is the 24th of April. Let's get to the news and get you to the weekend. Well, a virtual community meeting held on Wednesday in connection with a long-running racial profiling case against the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office ended an hour early. And the price tag for having the agency watched by a court-appointed monitor, which had drawn angry crowds at the last two meetings, was not discussed. When asked about a cost audit, Sheriff Jerry Sheridan declined to comment.
I don't even want to go there. That's just not a good, that's not a good thing to talk about. I think the court said, don't talk about it, leave it alone, and we'll be fine. So I'm going to leave it alone, so we'll be fine.
The meeting was held over Zoom for the first time. The previous one was moved to the federal courthouse for security. The federal government has reclassified state-licensed medical marijuana as a less dangerous drug. Matthew Case reports that effects of that decision will be felt here in Arizona.
The order signed by the U.S. Attorney General does not legalize medical marijuana, but it does put it in a class considered to have low potential for physical and psychological dependence. Sarah Gullickson is CEO of a Phoenix-based firm called Cannabis Business Advisors. She says rescheduling is a best-case scenario, and it will increase the value of retail licenses.
What it does is it showcases to investors that this is becoming a more safe space.
Recreational marijuana is also legal for adults in Arizona. It remains a Schedule I drug classified the same as heroin in terms of danger. A hearing in the process to reclassify recreational marijuana is scheduled for late June in Washington, D.C. Matthew Casey, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
A new research finds SNAP work requirements don't boost employment as they push people off food assistance. Tribal communities may be exempt in some cases, but questions remain about the wider impact on indigenous people. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Daniel Spalding has more.
The report from the Brookings Institution finds stricter SNAP work requirements don't lead to more people finding jobs. Lauren Bauer, a fellow at the Brookings Institution, says the requirements don't fulfill their intended goal.
But what we actually find is that work requirements only lead to reduced participation in the program. They do not lead to any better employment outcomes.
Nationwide, participation dropped by about 2.5 million people between July and December in 2025, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Under a new policy taking effect this year, anyone enrolled in a federally recognized tribe is exempt from SNAP work requirements. But Bauer says more research is needed to fully understand the impacts on Native communities. Thousands of indigenous families in our region rely on SNAP. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Daniel Spalding.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection says it seized a large number of weapons from a car in Nogales, Arizona, en route to Mexico. From the Fronteras Desk in Hermosillo, Nina Krivinsky has more.
CBP says the weapons it seized included 16 AK rifles and a rocket-propelled grenade launcher. The seizure happened on Sunday during outbound enforcement before the DeConcini border crossing into Nogales, Sonora. CBP arrested a 41-year-old woman who's a U.S. citizen, who they say was driving the car full of arms. She's since been charged with weapons smuggling. Mexico has been pressuring the U.S. for years to do more about arms smuggling. Mexico estimates that more than 70% of the weapons used by drug cartels come from the United States. Nina Krivinsky, KJZZ News, Hermosillo.
Well, Scottsdale's Old Town is known locally and nationally for its collection of restaurants and stores and art galleries. A coalition of businesses there are working with the mayor to develop proposals that could shape the area's development in the years to come. Greg Hawney has more.
The Downtown Scottsdale Task Force was formed to provide a more cohesive voice to represent the different districts of Old Town before the City Council. Scottsdale Mayor Lisa Borowski said the group was formed out of marketing concerns for the area and the contentious debate over a new parking garage.
It was hotly debated. There was a tremendous amount of opposition to it. There were some longtime business owners in Old Town that thought it was critical.
Borowski voted against the garage. The group will deliver policy recommendations to the City Council, focusing on issues such as aesthetics, other parking, and marketing in the fall. Greg Hawney, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, last month, the U.S. Forest Service swapped 2,400 acres of lands with Resolution Copper. that included an Apache holy site called Oak Flat. Now, as Gabriel Pietrazio tells us, a local group is challenging that decision.
Resolution Copper tells KJZZ, courts at every level have consistently ruled in the multinational mining company's favor, adding, it is time for the meritless litigation to end. Beckett Fund Senior Counsel Luke Goodrich disagrees.
This litigation is far from over. It's really just getting started.
That's why his D.C. religious liberty firm filed a 41-page plea this Earth Day on behalf of the nonprofit Apache Stronghold. They're asking Arizona's federal district court to essentially undo this congressionally approved land exchange, claiming the U.S. has violated federal laws and even an 1852 treaty. Goodrich says there's even legal precedent to back them up.
The courts, if they find that transfer is unlawful, can unwind the transfer and require the parties to restore the land to its pristine state.
Gabriel Pietrazio, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
The Arizona Community Foundation, the City of Phoenix, the Desert Botanical Garden, and ASU are teaming up to attract more investments in extreme heat mitigation here in the Valley. Catherine Davis-Young has details.
The city and partner groups announced they'll host a new conference to connect researchers and community organizations with funders. The last 2 years were the hottest on record in Phoenix. Anna Maria Chavez with the Arizona Community Foundation says tackling the challenges of an even hotter future in the Valley will come with a big cost.
All of us need to come together with one singular goal, and that is sustain investment.
The two-day event is scheduled for early December. It'll be called the 122-degree conference, named after the hottest temperature ever recorded in Phoenix. Chavez says that record is a call to action to devote more resources to heat mitigation and long-term resilience. Catherine Davis-Young, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Olpena County has released an online dashboard showing available shelter beds for the unhoused. Kat Davis is with the Tucson-Pima Collaboration to End Homelessness, which worked with the county on the project. She says it was requested by Tucson's mayor and council and the county board of supervisors.
Shelter providers will be reporting multiple times a day how many of their beds are still available for that day. So we'll have more up-to-date data.
The website has filters for facilities that require sobriety or that allow pets. It will also have information about cooling centers, Pima County Libraries, the Southern Arizona VA, and the Pima County Transition Center. A Northern Arizona University professor and other researchers are studying the monetary impacts of wildfires on local communities. Ignacio Ventura has more.
Wildfires can lead to issues like changes in the water treatment process or the pollution of water due to sediments, smoke, and soot. That's according to CU Pan, an economics assistant professor at NAU. Her research came out of a partnership with the U.S. Forest Service. One of her studies found that communities with lower education and household income are more open to wildfire exposure.
There is the social cost of carbon, right, which is carbon emission. There's the social cost of air pollution. There's the social cost of, you know, natural disasters of various sorts.
Pan says she is taking a closer look at what she calls environmental economics. Pan says wildfires have become more frequent in recent years. Ignacio Ventura, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In sports news, football, the Arizona Cardinals selected Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love with the number 3 overall selection in the NFL draft last night. Love ran for almost 1,400 yards and had 21 touchdowns total for the Fighting Irish last season. He'll be added to a roster already packed with running backs, but Cardinals GM Monty Ossenfort says they couldn't pass up the unanimous All-American.
With every decision that we make, in the draft, we take the best player that we think is available when we pick, and we did that tonight. That'll always be the case.
Rounds 2 and 3 of the draft take place tonight. Cards have the 34th and 65th overall picks. Baseball, Diamondbacks lost the finale of their series to the White Sox yesterday at Chase Field 4-1. Chicago's Andrew Benintendi hit a tie-breaking 3-run homer in the 9th inning off of D-backs closer Paul Sewald. Arizona's Ildemar Vargas, though, singled in the 4th inning to extend his hit streak to 21 games dating back to last season. D-backs have today off before they host the Padres this weekend. Basketball, Suns head back to Phoenix for the next 2 games. of their first-round playoff series against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're down 2-0 to the defending NBA champs. Game 3 tomorrow afternoon. Sun star Devin Booker fined $35,000 by the NBA yesterday for publicly criticizing the officiating following some of those questionable calls that we all saw in Wednesday night's loss. And that does it for this edition of KJZZ's Sun Up, Arizona's morning news podcast this Friday, April 24th. I'm Phil Latzman. Enjoy your weekend, and we're back at you to do this again on Monday. Talk to you then.